Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 66 of The Gut Goddess Show. I am super excited about this one. We're talking about when you're tired of being tired. So if you feel a little bit knackered and like you're maybe wading through treacle and just feel tired, and maybe you are fed up, frustrated, you feel like you've done stuff and you don't really know why, or maybe it's a recent thing. Maybe you feel like my energy used to be way better and now it's like tanked and in the toilet and I don't know why. Maybe you've been to the doctors and they all say your tests are normal, blah, 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 blah. Then this is the episode for you. So before we dive on into that, I want to let you know two things. The first thing is, drum roll, exciting, I want to hear from you. This podcast is a free weekly educational tool that I invest my time, energy, and money to provide for you. So I want to know that I am covering the topics that you want me to cover. So if you have ever thought, I wish Kezia would talk about blah, I wish Kezia would talk about this, eczema, skin, acne, thyroid, more about irritable bowel syndrome, more about constipation, more about ditching dieting mentality, whatever it is, I want you to let me know. And you can do that really quickly by picking up your phone or your tablet and emailing me at gutgoddesspodcast@gmail.com. So gutgoddesspodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. I've set up a special email address that's really simple, hopefully, to remember for you just to quickly fire off an email. And it doesn't need to be a polite, hi Kezia, how are you doing? Thanks for the show. I mean, feel free to do that. You can literally just send an email that says bloating or that says psoriasis. Like, give me as much or as little detail as you want, but I am here to serve you and let me know. Let me know what you would like this to be on this podcast, how the education and how it is that I can help you so that you can feel better and start living your awesome life. So that's number one. Number two is if you're listening to this in real time, on June the 24th, I am running a What to Eat to Beat IBS workshop. It's a free training workshop. It's going to be 60 minutes starting at 7:30 on Monday the 24th of June. And it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be busting the myths around IBS and all the confusion of should I be low FODMAP, paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, what do you eat to help ditch your IBS? Because I used to have horrendous IBS that I felt like ruined my life and kept me stuck on the toilet for ages. And now I don't. So, and I've helped loads of clients through this whole process. So I'm going to be sharing with you the framework to help with that. So if you're bloated or you have IBS or both, so you might not have IBS, but you're bloated all the time, this is also a great workshop for you. You can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/IBS. supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/IBS. I would love to see you in there. It'll be so much fun. Otherwise, let's get on with today's show. Tired of being tired. That is what we're talking about today. And this is going to be a bit of a mini series. So today I'm going to be really looking at part one. So we're going to be diving into why. Why might you be tired? And I'm going to be looking at about five different things that could be contributing to it, to your tiredness and general fatigue. It's by no means an extensive list, but this is what I see most commonly in my nutritional practice with clients. And this is something I have to say, probably all my clients, whether it's full-on chronic fatigue, whether they have PCOS, whether they have IBS, whether they have a really destructive relationship with food, whether the bowels are really erratic, one of the common symptoms is people say to me, I'm just really tired, I wake up tired, I go to bed exhausted, I feel like I need to nap for 2 hours in the afternoon, I don't have the energy I used to have, I don't have the energy to exercise. A lot of people are feeling really tired, which is why I want to dive on into this, because tiredness is a symptom and it's your body telling you something important. And a lot of the time we tend to not know what to do with that information or ignore it. So I'm going to be going through some of the big practical stuff of why you might be tired. And I, this is really something I have had to deal with and continue to manage in my own life, having been extremely tired since being quite little, to be honest. I remember always being more on the tired end, and then probably in my 20s, definitely getting to a more severely fatigued stage. I was never officially diagnosed with anything like chronic fatigue, but a lot of my symptoms were similar. Sore joints, achy body, waking up tired, going to bed tired, a lot of brain fog, a lot of not like, you know, if you did exercise, you literally would were scuppered for like 2 weeks, even that needing to recover from things. And I would say it's probably very mild, but fatigue has been a part of my life. So before we dive into the why, let's look at what we're talking about. Let's define a little bit more of tired. So obviously you can have be on the more chronic fatigue syndrome spectrum of tired. And this is probably where your tiredness is really bad. You would be more on the higher end of this. But chronic fatigue is a syndrome, so it will be diagnosed, as far as I'm aware, after about 6 months of kind of observation, certain symptoms, but they don't really know why you would have chronic fatigue. They've just maybe ruled out other things, maybe fibromyalgia, they've checked out your inflammatory markers, they've checked out your liver function, they've kind of excluded a lot of other things. And then but you're still having the symptoms and they don't know why, you might get a kind of diagnosis, which is a diagnosis of exclusion. So like IBS, they've excluded these other things going on and you'd get chronic fatigue syndrome diagnosed. It's not fun at all, but chronic fatigue can also vary in severity. I've had quite a lot of clients with chronic fatigue, some of which have been pretty much bedbound, unable to work, unable to function very well, and others maybe have just had to go from working full-time to part-time jobs, reduce their hours, or they just need to sleep for 12 hours every night. So there's within chronic fatigue, there's a real range of completely life debilitating, as in you struggle to brush your teeth, to not quite that extreme. So just to be aware of that. If you know anyone with chronic fatigue, don't make judgments or assumptions about their symptoms or how they're doing. Every client I've had with chronic fatigue is really different. So there's that official part fatigue, but then there's also just so many women and clients I work with that just feel like they're wading through treacle every day. They don't wake up feeling particularly refreshed. And as the day goes on, it just feels like, oh, it's really difficult. And they're tired and they feel like maybe they're eating healthy. They're probably getting enough sleep, but they are still tired. And maybe you don't have a diagnosis happening, maybe that's not what's going on, but you just know that you're way more tired than you used to be. And there's lots of reasons for it. So when you're tired, it'll be because your body either isn't producing enough energy, ATP. There might be some mitochondrial support needed. So your mitochondria are your like the power plant in your cells. So every cell that you have, apart from like a blood cell, you would have these mitochondria that are the energy generating, the power plant of each cell and within our body. And that production of energy can be hindered by things that we're going to talk about today. But that can be part of the reason for it. You're not maybe producing enough energy, or maybe you are producing enough energy, but you've got loads of sort of what I would call energy leaks going on. So if you imagine your body's creating all this energy and it's filling up this energy bucket, you maybe have tons of holes in that bucket. So as soon as you make energy, it just goes all down onto the floor. And there can be lots of reasons for that. You can have transportation issues, lots of other things. But energy is really important. I often think it's one of the most disregarded kind of symptoms. People just expect to be tired these days. And I think a lot of that is to do with our lifestyle and choices. But if you've noticed your energy declining in a serious fashion, pay attention. I've had a client recently who did pay attention. She's like, this just isn't normal for me. I don't know what it is. She had tried to get a couple of tests done by a doctor, but had been refused. So we did some private labs with her. And lo and behold, she had a bunch of thyroid antibodies that were really elevated. And that'd be why she's feeling so tired. So there is a reason. There will be a reason for you to feel so tired. But Kezia, you might be asking, what could those reasons be? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So number one is it could be your thyroid or your adrenals. So your thyroid and adrenals, two separate glands that both part of your endocrine, your hormonal system. But they do work differently, although they're part of the same system, that as in they're two separate glands. They're not one thing. But you have your thyroid in your neck and your adrenals kind of rest just above your kidneys. And they both play a really important role in energy production. So thyroid, especially, if you feel like you're kind of just wading through treacle. So take that example of my client of feeling really tired, not really knowing why. When your thyroid is maybe underactive or overactive, it can affect your mental health and well-being. Your mood can shift and change. Your motivation can kind of just feel like it disappears. You maybe were like, Miss Proactive, woo, 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 go, go, go person. And then you're like, oh, I can't be bothered. Let's just sit on the sofa. You might have cold hands and feet. Your hair might be thinning slightly. Your hormones might be a little bit wonky. You might have gained weight or lost a lot of weight depending on your thyroid. Because with your thyroid, you can have an overactive thyroid. So it's working too hard. An underactive thyroid, it's not working enough. Or an autoimmune thyroid condition where your body is attacking its thyroid. Just as a bit of a quick overview. So if your thyroid is off, you will feel tired, whether it's overactive or underactive. If your thyroid is working too hard, you're going to feel tired. If it's working too little, you're going to feel super tired. And same if you've got the autoimmune component. So if you've been feeling tired for a long time, then I highly recommend you go to your doctor, ask for a thorough thyroid panel. They'll probably just check your TSH, but really see if they could ask, you could get your T4 and T3 tested, especially if you have a family history of thyroid problems. And if that doesn't go well, then maybe consider some private testing. So for me and a couple of my clients, a lot depends on your GP, a lot depends on your health history, of how you can access these tests, unfortunately. So I tend to just pay for my own privately thyroid test every 6 months or every 12 months. And a lot of clients do that. It's about 100 quid-ish. Well, between 50 to 100 quid. The panel I like to do is about 100 quid because that includes your vitamin D, your iron, your B12, your folate, your a blood sugar marker, a whole different things. But I think you can do a basic thyroid check for about 50 quid. So it's really worthwhile doing, from my opinion, because often people get their knickers in a twist about, well, how accurate, how sensitive, how how are these test results calibrated, blah, 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 which I totally get. Quality is really important when you're doing private lab tests. I don't use labs that are just like based in someone's front room. You want high quality ones that are inspected, have quality control, all of these different kinds of things. But equally, especially with thyroid tests, if you're using that, if you've been refused tests by your doctors, if you can do one privately, often that will mean, and you get a result, say like this other client, elevated antibodies. I'm hoping that that test with the elevated antibodies will be enough to get that referral to the endocrinologist to get the official diagnosis, because I won't diagnose any sort of health condition, but having those test results can give me a little bit of information and then really help go through those conventional medical channels to get the diagnosis that you need around maybe your thyroid that might help open up medication options or just mean that you are given appropriate treatment. So that's my little quick snapshot of that. So your thyroid and adrenals, really, really important. If you're exhausted and you felt exhausted for ages and maybe you've tried exercising, you've tried sleeping more, you've tried eating healthier and you're still damn tired and like, oh, wading through treacle, your mood's maybe dipped, you're feeling cold, your hair's thinned, it's maybe falling out, your hormones are off, you may be struggling weight, either you've lost a lot of weight, you're gaining a lot of weight, you can't seem to lose weight, whatever it is, do make sure you check out your thyroid. You can do it for pretty cheap and it's well worth doing. So number one, that might be why you're tired. Your thyroid, I've got lots of other previous podcasts about that. So if you go to episode 33, that is where I talk about more about your adrenals, so your adrenal fatigue recovery plan. That's episode 33. If you go to episode 34, I do an episode on why your normal thyroid test might be wrong. So if you've been like, Kezia, I've been to the doctors, they've tested my thyroid, they said it's fine, listen to episode 34. I did a little hormonal series last year. So episode 33, 34, you want to get to listen to that. If you suspect, okay, it might be my thyroid, it might be my adrenals. So that's the first thing that can be making you tired. The next thing is your insulin management. So if your insulin, which is a hormone that you produce to help regulate the amount of glucose in your blood, to put it really simply, if that's imbalanced, shall we say, if that is a little bit out of whack. These aren't medical terms, but if that is not robust and resilient, you will feel really tired and your energy won't be great. You will probably be craving a lot of sugar. You'll probably be storing body fat. There'll just be a whole bunch of stuff going on. And just to say, all these different things that I'm going to list for why aren't exclusive. Like they actually, they often all come hand in hand. So people with thyroid or adrenal issues nearly always have insulin management issues. So these all kind of weave together. But your insulin management. So if you are eating a lot of high carbohydrate food, high sugar food, whether it's natural sugar, refined sugar, if you're having a high amount of that sugary food, that's contributing to your insulin kind of spiking and dropping, a bit like a roller coaster, your insulin management is going to gently go up and down, but it's not meant to be like, you know, an extreme roller coaster of like spikes and troughs and spikes and troughs. That will really stress you out, make you feel really tired. It also can affect your mood. So that will be why, could be why you get, you know, when you're hungry, you get angry, irrational, you want to bite someone's head off. That could be all down to your insulin management. So if you are feeling really, really tired, then getting to grips with your insulin can be really helpful. Now, an easy, really easy way of getting started with this is just to, in the morning, to focus on having a high protein and high fat breakfast. So ditch the porridge, ditch the toast, ditch the cereal or the granola or the fruit salad. Those are all higher carbohydrate foods. And for breakfast, focus on something like eggs or a smoothie with with as minimal amount of fruit in as you can get away with, and a good amount of like a collagen protein powder or a pea protein powder, a protein powder that has literally no ingredients other than the powder. So you don't want, you know, a collagen powder with some sugar and some flavoring and some filler and some whatever. You just literally want like collagen powder, pea protein powder. You literally just want it, the ingredients to say organic pea protein. That's it. You're really increasing your fat and protein for breakfast is a great place to start. Again, if you want more information on that, I did on PCOS, which is episode 52. Actually, I talk a bit more about blood sugar management because managing your insulin is really important for polycystic ovarian syndrome. So that's episode 52. But really making sure you kind of focus on eating more higher fat, higher protein food. This doesn't mean you have to ditch all carbohydrates, but especially in the morning, if you can switch up your breakfast, this can often really help. So maybe you are a hardcore porridge girl in the morning. I would just encourage you, experiment for 5 days with having a different breakfast. Experiment with maybe having some scrambled eggs and avocado and just see how you feel. And then maybe the next week you could experiment with maybe having some coconut yogurt or normal yogurt if you tolerate dairy with some walnuts and blueberries on and see how you feel. Experiment and see if that really supports your insulin management. Because often if you can really support your insulin at the start of the day, you can feel a lot better in the afternoon. That afternoon slump of like, oh, I need to go for a nap at like 3 o'clock can often be contributed from this sort of roller coaster going on in your body. So having some more healthy protein and fat for breakfast is a really great place to start. And eggs are great for that. I know lots of people are like, I don't have time to make eggs in the morning. And we make time for things that are important to us. I honestly don't think making scrambled eggs really takes that long. You whip the eggs, like you whisk them with a fork and then you put them in a pan and then you come back to them. I literally think it takes about 3 minutes, but if that's a mindset block for you, maybe get up a couple of minutes earlier. You could make a frittata at the start of the week. I often will say that to clients. You could make a big breakfast frittata and then just have a slice of that in the morning. I've even had clients that have just like had hard boiled eggs, and it's not a very sexy breakfast at all. But, you know, especially if they were maybe not going to have anything for breakfast, they would maybe just have a couple of hard boiled eggs on their way to work or something. Switch up your breakfasts, go with a smoothie with a good kind of 20 grams of protein added to that, or some eggs in the morning, things like avocado. You can add some MCT oil to your smoothie, which is like a specific kind of oil that's really great for energy. Switch up your breakfast and see if how that impacts your insulin management. But overall, supporting your insulin management is really, really important. And we do that by finding our carbohydrate tolerance. So finding the amount of carbohydrates that we need to feel good, eating more fat and protein, eating more fiber, and really ditching the refined sugar. If you're eating a lot of refined sugar, cakes, biscuits, chocolate throughout the day, you will be feeling tired. I know you get that nice like rush from like, oh, I've had some chocolate, I've had a dairy milk or one of these awful cereal bars, you know, I saw the other, like, Cheerio cereal bars or whatever, or a Flapjack or whatever it is, you might get that initial rush, but actually ultimately you're going to crash and feel worse. So if you're eating lots of sugar throughout the day, you ultimately are going to be draining your energy. I often think about refined sugar as like a drain. It drains and depletes your energy production. So if you have been snacking on lots of sugary things, maybe switch up to some like walnuts, some hummus, some carrots, some almond butter and, with apple. You could have some yogurt instead, some natural yogurt or coconut yogurt or sheep's yogurt. There's so many types of yogurt. You could have some soup. You could have maybe like a homemade energy bite with nuts and a bit of dates in, you know, and keeping the sweetness super low. But really think about switching up your snacks in order to support your insulin management. So to support your insulin, experiment with breakfast. Experiment with ditching the toast or the cereal or the porridge and focus on a higher fat, higher protein breakfast. And if you're snacking on sugary things throughout the day, and this could even be you're snacking on fruit, so maybe your snack in the afternoon is an apple, I'd really encourage you to switch that up to something a little bit more savory, or at least adding in some sort of fat. So you maybe have apple slices dipped in almond butter just to help with that kind of slow release of the sugars within the apple. So that's the second thing. Really simple. And a lot of the time I find with clients, once the first couple of weeks we start working together, they all be like, oh, I do just feel a lot better. My energy feels a lot better. And it's because they've implemented these things. It's not a secret. What I do with clients isn't like, oh, secret thing. This is always something that we have to work on. So that's the first thing. The third thing is caffeine. And caffeine is a bit like sugar. It can often, when it's not used properly, it can actually deplete your energy more often. And caffeine can be great and it can actually help improve your energy. We do know that from research, but if you're having caffeine throughout the day all the time, your body kind of gets a bit numb to it. So if you actually want to use caffeine to give you that edge, to help boost your energy, you actually need to use it more sparingly and not having a coffee in the morning, a coffee when you get to work, a cup of tea at lunch, a cup of tea in the afternoon. You actually more want to use it a couple of times a week. So say on Thursdays, you maybe go to the gym before work and it's the end of the week, you're feeling tired. That's maybe when you'd want to have caffeine. You don't want to have it every day, several times a day. It can be a real drain on your adrenals. It can actually stress your body out a little bit more and it does impact your insulin management. So you might have a coffee in the morning and you might be thinking, because yeah, I don't really eat that much sugar at all, or I am really trying to get on top of my sugar cravings, but I just seem to crave it all the time. It might be having that coffee or that several cups of tea, having that caffeine rush can cause your insulin to be a little bit more mismanaged and kind of mimic. Sometimes caffeine can mimic in the body kind of sugar, if that makes sense. So I've had clients who have actually ditched sugar, but because they're very attached to having their caffeine, because you're getting that same kind of hit that you would get from sugar. And so it's really easy just to replace sugar with caffeine. And that ultimately is not going to help your adrenals and your energy in the long run. Yep, you'll get that. It's a bit like sugar. You'll get that. Woo, yes, my brain is on fire. I'm ready to go. Or for a lot of people, it'll just send them to the toilet, let's be honest. But you'll then drop. And you will feel even worse and you need more and more caffeine to get that high. So with caffeine, I'd recommend having caffeine a couple of times a week. If you really want to get that energy boost from it, it's great to have. Maybe you're in a running club, you could have some caffeine, or you go for a run in the morning, you might have a bit of caffeine for those two runs you go on in a week. That can help with performance, for example. But caffeine in general, really think about slowly reducing it. And you would be surprised when you start to slowly reduce the caffeine in your life. This also can come from green tea as well, although green tea is often utilized slightly differently. You will realize how kind of addicted you can be to it, because the withdrawal from caffeine can be quite harsh. So again, go slowly. If you have a lot of caffeinated coffee right now, maybe you have two coffees in a morning, three coffees, switch one of them to decaf. Then next week, switch two of them to decaf. Then switch all of them to decaf and see how you feel. Green tea is a great alternative while you're making this transition, but you can drink too much of green tea as well. I'd probably recommend you want like a cup, one or two cups of green tea maximum, or matcha. I find for some of my clients, even green tea can be too much for their adrenals. For me, green tea is quite caffeinated I have that caffeine response from it, so I don't drink a lot of it, even though there's loads of really great research benefits from it, just because my body doesn't handle it, and what your body can handle is the most important thing. So caffeine, really important. If you're feeling exhausted all the time, I know this seems so countercultural or counterintuitive, because yeah, I'm tired. That's why I'm drinking caffeine, because I'm tired. But you get in a bit of a vicious circle. You're tired, so you drink caffeine. The caffeine makes you more tired, so you drink more caffeine. And the caffeine makes you tired, so you drink more caffeine. And before you know it, you need to have 4 or 5 caffeinated drinks in the day just to get through. And that is super depleting on your liver health in terms of optimal liver function and your adrenal health. So dealing with caffeine and sugar, really important. And again, it's not to say that you can never have that double espresso ever again, but you would use it more sparingly. When, for me, I'll often maybe have a caffeinated coffee on Fridays, because I'm often just knackered by the time I get to Fridays with mumming and businessing and clients. So I'll often have like caffeine then, but I try not to have caffeine I might have it once other in the week if I'm feeling tired, but I try not to have caffeine the rest of the time. I'll always go with Swiss water method decaf coffee, because I do love coffee, guys. I used to run a coffee shop and, you know, went to London to do all that artisan hippie coffee making training, you know. I'm one of these people that, yeah, if I'm in a coffee shop and I'm feeling brave, I'll ask them to like heat my milk for my flat white to a specific temperature of 63 degrees. I'm one of those coffee snobs. I own it. So I totally get it if you're like, I love coffee, but it might not be helping your energy. It might be counterintuitive. So we've talked about thyroid and adrenals. We've talked about insulin management. We've talked about caffeine. Next thing is heavy metals. Now, this is maybe slightly more on the controversial side to talk about, because if you were to maybe go and talk to a doctor about this, they would probably be like, nah, load of rubbish. Heavy metal poisoning can happen. You know, we know about arsenic poisoning and mercury poisoning. So though we are aware that it is... that these metals can be super toxic, which is why, you know, we've gotten rid of lead piping and, you know, all of these kinds of things. But I find that heavy metals, if you feel like you've been tired for ages, and you might be listening to this and being like, Kezia, I've checked my thyroid, I don't eat coffee, I don't have caffeine, I don't eat sugar, I eat really healthy, I've really worked hard at supporting my adrenals and my thyroid, and I still feel like crap, then heavy metals potentially could be what's going on. Now, when it comes to heavy metals, there is a couple of different ways you could test for it. So with heavy metals, you might not necessarily, it's not something you could really self-diagnose. You kind of need to do tests, but there is a little bit of, debate around the best way of heavy metal toxicity testing. So you can do something called a DMSA challenge test. This would often need to be done with a clinician, so a doctor, a functional medicine doctor, where you would basically challenge the body to release the heavy metals within its organs, and this would come out in your urine, and you would check the urine along that. So that is the DMSA kind of challenge, sort of heavy metal provocation. It provokes your body to release these different heavy metals, and you would check them out in urine. That's a slightly more invasive procedure, so it's not something I do with clients. It's more something I would recommend you to go and do with a functional medicine doctor. Another way that you can test, but there is some debate of how helpful that is ultimately. And what I do with my clients, if I suspect heavy metals, is a hair mineral test. And I have to say, I used to be well skeptical of hair mineral tests. I was just a bit like, guys, seriously. But we had a lecture on it at uni, probably like 2 years ago, with someone who ran a hair mineral company, and just went through some of the research and the rationale for it, and found it really, actually really helpful. It's also really affordable as well. So a hair mineral test cost you about £65. I did one probably about 2 years ago, and it showed up because I suspected mercury was an issue just because of my symptoms and health history. But actually it turned out arsenic, there was really elevated levels of arsenic from my kind of hair mineral sample. The only downside is that of this test is you have to chop off a little bit of your hair. So when you go to the hairdresser, they're like, you've got a tiny like a bald patch at the back of your head, which I have long hair, so it didn't really matter. No one really noticed apart from the hairdresser, but you know, slightly distressing cutting off your long hair, because it needs to be the root that's part of the root sample. So that I do that. It's probably not the most you know, there's definite flaws in that test, just as there are flaws in lots of lab tests in terms of strengths and weaknesses. But I find it really helpful as an indicator. It's really affordable. It's not too invasive. And it can really help to look at the kind of organic heavy metals going on in the body and just give a bit of an indication of what's going on. Because I assumed I had mercury poisoning because I have an amalgam filling. But it wasn't. And my mercury levels were minorly elevated, but not very much. But it was arsenic that was the problem. And I have thyroid issues, and arsenic really gets in the way of iodine intake and production. So as you know, you can see all these pieces coming together. I had high levels of arsenic. My thyroid had slightly elevated antibodies, wasn't working that well. The arsenic was blocking the iodine that my thyroid needed to function. You can see this whole picture coming together. So it can be a really, really helpful kind of missing piece to look at. So I will run it with clients if they have tried lots of things and made no progress, if maybe they have specific mental health issues going on, because that can also play a really important role. And heavy metals, the reason they're so problematic is the body really struggles to detoxify them, to get rid of them. It stores them really, really well. It just struggles to get mercury and arsenic and lead and cadmium and tin out of our body. And it also, they really interrupts energy production. So if you remember back to biology, you have like your Krebs cycle or your citric acid cycle or whatever. That's what is used in part to create energy as ATP. And heavy metals will, there's lots of different stages and conversions to that cycle, and heavy metals sort of block stuff. They get in the way. So I've seen with clients when we've done tests to look at their kind of energy production, to look at their Krebs cycle, they'll be doing fine in this circle of converting one thing to another, all fine, all healthy, and then all of a sudden everything goes to shit. And it's often because there's then this heavy metal blocking some important reaction in the body, because the body is full of different chemical reactions. Heavy metals basically get in the way of some of those, which is why it can make you tired. So we've talked about thyroid, heavy metals, insulin, caffeine. And then obviously, like I talked about at the beginning, there can be chronic fatigue going on. Now, chronic fatigue is a syndrome, and it's a diagnosis that you can have. But every client I've had with chronic fatigue, there's lots of very varied and different root factors. So one client I'm just thinking of, for her, yeast was a really important factor. Low B vitamins and poor digestion was ultimately what was contributing to her chronic fatigue. Once we sort of sorted that out, she emailed me the other day to say she'd run her first 10K. So she's obviously, you know, she's been doing great. It's been with chronic fatigue, it's not an overnight thing. It probably takes a good year, 18 months to really recover, depending on how severe you are to start with. But chronic fatigue, often your adrenals, your thyroid contribute, your detox factors, heavy metals can be an issue, insulin can be an issue. So chronic fatigue is a reason you can be tired, of course. But there's another question of why do you have chronic fatigue? And often some of these things that we've talked about can be contributing to chronic fatigue, along with a lot of different factors. There can be genetic factors, there can be trauma, tons of different stuff contributing to that. So I hope that has been helpful. I feel like I've said so way too much in this episode. I need to like put a little poster up. But those are some of the contributing factors to most of the clients I see why they're so tired. Yep, there can be lots of different factors going on. We have not even dove into genetic factors or genetic mutations and SNPs like MTHFR and all those other juicy things that can be contributing to your low energy. But those are some of the main things. So I would just encourage you, if you're feeling really tired, just think, okay, this month, what am I going to take action on? Am I going to pay for a private thyroid test? Am I going to do a hair mineral test? Am I going to deal with sugar? And am I going to experiment with my breakfast? Am I going to start to ditch caffeine? What is the one thing you're going to do? Because honestly, when you have more energy, speaking as someone who used to just be tired all the time, and one of the reasons I was so scared to have a baby was, you know, all new parents are exhausted. And I was just so scared of, I already have spent most of my 20s feeling exhausted. I could not even imagine what that would be like, not having enough sleep with having a newborn. But the liberation and freedom and just joy, for want of a better word, you have when you get your energy back is phenomenal. I've been loving actually how energized, generally I've been feeling, not perfect, not every day, but generally how energized I felt after having a baby, because I did the work of supporting my energy production before getting pregnant. I've still got some way to go, guys. I'm still not perfect, but basically getting your energy back is so worth it. It means you can get on with the rest of your life. There's no way, if I'd had the energy I had when I was 25, could I have ran my business, done my master's or my postgraduate studies, and all at the same time as being pregnant and all of that kind of thing. But I had the energy for it, which is awesome. So take action. Know that you're worth it. And if you have any questions, then remember you can send my any questions or any topics you want covered in the podcast to the gutgoddesspodcast@gmail.com. So right now, if you're on your phone or tablet and you're like, oh, Kezia, I'd love you to talk about X, just send me a quick email. Literally, you could just send me an email that says nothing else other than hyperthyroidism. That's enough. You don't need to make it fancy. You don't need to be polite. You could literally just say, coming off sugar. That's enough. And you can email that to gutgoddesspodcast@gmail.com. gutgoddesspodcast@gmail.com. So let me know. Otherwise, thank you for your time. I really value you listening, and I'm here to help and serve you. So do email me. Do tell me what you want me to cover. I am here to equip you so that you can sort out your health, sort out your energy, sort out your belly, sort out your bloating, so that you can get on and do awesome stuff in the world. So I will see you next week. Lots of love. So I'm hopping on quickly because I forgot about two things. Number one is, if you are feeling really, really tired and exhausted, make sure you get to your GP and ask them to check your iron, so your ferritin levels, and your vitamin D. If you haven't had those checked recently, you can go and do that, book an appointment. Your GP should be really happy to check those for you if you feel like your tiredness is really increased and is kind of affecting your life. Make sure you get your iron checked. Make sure you get your vitamin D levels checked. And if you are really struggling with this and you're thinking, Kezia, I've tried a lot of this stuff, I'm sick of being tired, I'm sped up of waking up tired, I'm bloated, and you know, you're ready for change, you're ready to make changes so that you can get on and live your life, then why not come and work with me one-on-one? You can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org, click with the work with me button, and that'll have all the information of how I work with my clients with my online nutrition clinic. And I would love to work with you. I've worked with lots of people, from chronic fatigue syndrome to thyroid issues to figuring out if they have thyroid issues to lots of different things. So if you're ready to see some phenomenal changes in 14 weeks and work with me privately, head over to my website. I would love to work with you, because I would really love as many women as possible to get their energy back. Because when women get their energy back, awesome stuff can happen in the world. It really, really can. So if you want to work with me, let me know. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Bye.